Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. The Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County have kicked off their annual On the Same Page community reading program, this year featuring the book The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe. Will be in Cincinnati to discuss his book next Saturday, and you can find out more about that at our website, wvxu.org. But right now, Will is on the phone with me to talk about the book. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Mark.
This is quite an interesting book club. I found it very interesting. It lives up to its name, the End of Your Life Book Club, in the form that your mother was diagnosed with cancer, and you began a kind of informal book club with her as she was going through chemotherapy, as she was being treated for pancreatic cancer. And it was really revealing in how much it showed about the relationship with your mom, and I was fascinated to learn you're from a family of readers. The whole family grew up with their nose in a book, I guess you could say.
Big family of readers. We've always loved books. We've always talked about books. And it's always been, for my family, both something that really engages us, something we love to talk about, but also, frankly, something we could talk about when there were other things we didn't want to talk about. So there's something when you're sitting with your mother and in a treatment center and she's undergoing chemo for cancer, books were a great way to open up all different kinds of conversations and to sort of take us out of that room and allow us to talk about everything in life that we wanted to, from really trivial things to life's big questions.
And it seems that your mother really lived her life through books, that they provided guidance through her before her through most of her life. And she was always, as many of us do, recommend, you got to read this. You have to see this.
Yes, and when she said, you have to read this, she meant it. You had to. There was no choice. She was telling you, read it. And Mom felt, too, very strongly that books were how we learn what we need to do with our life and in the world. I mean, for example, a wonderful book like The Kite Runner by Khaled Hosseini. She felt if you read that book and you were moved, you had to say to yourself, what am I going to do about Afghanistan? Is there some small way I can contribute? Can I send a little check or write a letter or do something? And when we were growing up, my mother would never say, why don't you put down that book and do something? For my mother, reading was doing something, and it was doing something really, really big.
Well, and I noticed in the book it was also, for you and your siblings, a way to avoid doing something as well. If your nose was in a book, you wouldn't be interrupted.
I'm so glad you picked up on that, Mark. Absolutely. Books were kind of like churches in medieval times. They were sanctuary. You, if you were going to be in trouble for something or hadn't done something or were supposed to do something, if you buried your face in a book, you were safe until you put the book down. The second you put the book down, you were fair game.
And you said you had to be engrossed in it, not just turning the pages. You had to actually be
reading. Yeah, I think they were pretty good at guessing when we were taking advantage of that.
Well, I found it fascinating in the book, in the chapter titled Marjorie Morningstar, a quote from your mom that I think sums up On the Same Page and book clubs in general, where she says, quote, "That's one of the things books do. They help us talk, but they also give us something we all can talk about when we don't want to talk about ourselves." And that really is the approach to this community-type reading program. When, granted, sometimes you do interject some of yourself into the book or some of your own convictions, but for the most part, it gives you a flight of fancy, a flight of imagination to pursue those lines of questioning instead of something you might want to avoid talking about.
It does indeed. It's one of the things. It forces you to stop. It forces you to listen. I mean, you can talk back to a book all you want, but it's not going to change the words on the page. And it literally, and this is a phrase, important phrase, of course, it puts everybody on the same page, that all differences between us disappear when we're reading, because sure, we bring our own lives and our own experiences to a book, and that's so fascinating to talk about, but the book itself, those are the same words on the page. And Mom went around every day and she'd ask everybody, what are you reading? It was a great question. She'd ask us it, she'd ask people she met, cab drivers, the doctors in the hospital, and whether it was a book or a magazine or the newspaper or something, it gave everybody something to talk about that they could share. broke down barriers. It's I think, the world's greatest question. What are you reading?
In the book, you talk about starting a blog when your mother became ill. And it was a blog that supposedly you were writing, but really your mom was writing it for you. It was Will's Mary Ann Schwalbe blog. And up until the final days of her life, she was the one generating. But in your voice, that seems like it might be, well, a little uncomfortable at times. How did you feel about that?
I really wanted her to write a blog about what she was going through and what she was feeling, more so that we could just inform all of our friends and family, you know, what were good days, what were bad days, when they should call, when maybe they shouldn't. But Mom felt, oh, no, I could never write a blog. She was too modest for that. So she said to me, you know, sweetie, why don't you write the blog? And then the very first time I said to her, well, what should it say? And she wound up writing it in my voice and did that right away. So I actually was delighted. It made life much easier for me. She'd write it, I'd post it. And it was only really the last entries that that I had to write myself, which was a very sad moment for me when Mom's ability to write her own story in a way had come to an end. And I realized it was my turn to pick that up.
As an author, how does it feel to have your book chosen as part of a community reading program? You know, granted, it might show up in a book club here or there, a small group, 10, 15 people, but you're talking about a whole community. How does that feel as an author?
I can say without hesitation that when I heard that the Cincinnati Public Library and Hamilton County Public Library system had chosen this as the city read, it was the single best moment in the entire course of this book's history, from the day I heard it was going to be published to the present. I can't even tell you how much it means to have a library system, because I revere libraries, choose the book, and to know that all different kinds of people in a city I've never been to and I'm so excited to visit are going to be reading and talking about the book. I really can't. For an author, I cannot imagine anything better.
Well, I won't delve into too much about the book because I do want people to discover it on their own and have their own reactions to it. I shared my reaction to it before we got on the air here, but I was struck. So what I'm basically saying is I'm going to step back from the book for just a moment, Will, and ask you about books in general in this day and age, in the digital age, because you had a wonderful paragraph on page 42 of the book that talks about the physicality of books and how electronic books live out of sight and out of mind, and what really captured, because I've been struggling with this myself, you say, you know, electronic books are all soul with no flesh, no texture, and no weight. They can get in your head, but you can't whack you upside it. And I thought that was, you know, the sheer physicality of the books. And are you like me feeling that despite the rise of digital books, that print books will survive?
I believe print books will survive forever. I read about a third of the books that I read digitally, and I love the convenience, and I love the access, and I love that I can get books so quickly and carry them around. I mean, there's so much wonderful about reading books digitally. And as I said, I read a third of the books I read are digital. But I just still love physical books, and I'm a little mystical about books, and I feel in some ways they sometimes present themselves to me when I most need them, that I literally trip over them. There's a point in the book where I talk about stumbling across my copy of The Hobbit, which is one of my all-time, lifetime favorite books, and just flipping the pages and landing on a passage that was the passage that I needed to read at that very moment. And that kind of encounter just doesn't happen with an electronic book. So I think there's a huge place for electronic books and physical books. And I really don't think the physical book will ever go away. I think in some ways, the existence of electronic books has caused us to value physical books even more. I mean, it's funny, Mark, when you even think of the term physical books, they used to just be books. but when we say physical books, we really are emphasizing their permanence, their weight, their heft, their production values. And so the more I read electronic books, the more I appreciate physical ones.
Well, I really appreciated your book, Will, and look forward to your visit to Cincinnati next weekend.
Thank you. I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Will Schwalbe, the author of the End of Your Life Book Club, the annual On the Same Page community reading program pick for this year. Will be in Cincinnati next Saturday to discuss this book, and you can find out more about his visit and the book, The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe, on our website, wvxu.org. And I'm sure Will would agree with me in saying, keep reading.